Christ was on the cross. And who knew? Who knew on the surface what he was doing? All most people saw was the surface. A supposed criminal was being executed. Nobody knew of the powers he was wrestling, the sovereignties, the principalities, the sin not only of the world but of the universe, that he was reconciling not only humanity but the celestial world to himself. It was all invisible. It was all under the surface. On the surface, we saw a supposed criminal dying. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and I am again with my good friend and spiritual compatriot, Dennis Brown, in the studio here. Man, you had to have anointed vision to see any of this stuff. Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Well, some of them say you're Elijah, some of them say you're this." And Jesus said, "Well, who do you say I am?" And he said, "You're the Christ." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." It takes the Spirit to reveal to somebody what's going on under the surface of a thing.
It really does, and it reminds me of a graphic that I have on one of my blogs, which is entitled Concealed, and it shows an iceberg. I've been to Newfoundland. And I've touched an iceberg.
Not many people can say that.
I have touched an iceberg.
Wow.
And
I have ice cubes in my freezer. Is that anything?
Well, it's not even close.
Not even close. They
might be as old as the iceberg, though, okay. The way you keep house.
That's true. Thank you. Thanks for telling our whole listenership that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm supposed to make you
okay.
Look good.
That's wrong. You're supposed to make me look good, Dennis.
Anyways, the concept of the iceberg, the truth of it is that the top of the iceberg is small. But underneath, hidden, concealed, is the massiveness of that berg.
Yeah.
And
the berg of ice.
But you can't see it.
Right.
You can't see it. And this is these are God's ways. God conceals things. We've been talking about the alienation of the mind and the necessity and the inevitability of God renewing the mind, because God said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind," through Paul. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
All minds will be transformed. Righteousness and the knowledge of God will cover the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to be clear on who God is, what his nature is, but for the time being, he has subjected us to darkness, and he's processing us and progressing us into the enlightened mind. Not everybody right now.
No.
Not everybody right now. But I want to talk about Judas for a minute. I want to talk about the concealment factor.
All right.
Because this is not touched on in the pulpits in America or around the world. And this is a...
That's a shock.
Yeah, that's a shock. I want to bring up the idea of Jesus's concealment. We talked about it a little bit about it in the last show.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus was announced to the world, he was announced to shepherds who had absolutely zero local credentials. These guys were nobodies. They had bad jobs. Like, they were sent to the fields. Do you remember somebody else who was sent to the field and became king?
Yeah, kind of like David,
Man,
and who else got sent to the field? Moses. He got sent into the wilderness of...
1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, two of my favorite passages, talks about how Jesse is sent to the house of Samuel sent to the house of Jesse.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Martin. I didn't get that right.
You have my forgiveness.
Thank you. I had it anyway. And he gets there, and he, in his carnal, in his mind, this is the prophet of God.
Right.
And there's an alienation present in his mind. And he goes down the line of sons. There's eight sons there.
Yeah.
And he gets to Eliab, and he's like, "Man, this is the one.
Surely the Lord's anointed is before me.
He's tall, he's good looking." And God's like,
"Nope.
Ain't him."
I have.
And he goes through the whole line of sons. And at the end of the line of sons is the anointed one. Now, you need to see this for the remnant. You need to see this for how the celestials, how God has set this up. God is not, you need to see this about who we are. We're the end of the line sons, Martin.
I do believe we're the last.
We have been sent out.
Mm-hmm.
We have been concealed. They do not know who you are, who I am. This is not.
I noticed that. I get no respect in the grocery store. I get no respect at the quick shop. What's going on?
It's not because of the way you behave or look, although that is a factor.
That's a factor, I understand.
I saw you this morning when you woke up.
That's right.
It is a factor.
It is a factor. But
God reveals himself. God says to Samuel, none of these are it. And Samuel says, you know, there's, where is he? Where
don't
is
you, the don't one? You because, have another son? He goes, yeah, well, oh, I do have one more, but you know.
He's out in the field. He's out in the field. They and never even,
no, never even
they
considered
missed it completely.
Him.
They missed it completely. The religious systems and the carnal mind will always miss it. God is playing hide and seek with the carnal mind. That is his game with the children. Let's play hide and seek. And those of you who want to search it out, those of you who want to dig it out, those of you who want to come after me, I'm going to reveal myself to you.
Yeah.
But I'm always in the position of control. I am always sovereign. I am God, which is in the Greek is theos, the placer and yeah. the subjector. I am always the one who's in control. So Jesus is concealed. He's announced to the shepherds. No local credentials. Nobody would have ever believed the shepherds if they had said, we saw the angels
oh, no
and they
way.
Announced the coming of the Christ. Yeah. We know the Messiah is in where? In Bethlehem, the house of bread. And where did Jesus go to live? Where
Nazareth,
was his hometown?
The most despised place in all of Israel.
Hidden. Yeah. Nothing exactly. good can come out of Nazareth.
Right.
Then Jesus goes to the temple when he's 12 years old. And he's among the elite of the temple, and he's actually teaching them, and they're astounded by who he is. But do they know who he is? No, they just think he's a little kid.
A little smart ass, probably. Although they were astounded.
And what happened 3 days after Mary and Joseph left? Was it 3 days, I believe the scripture says? They realized somebody wasn't with them.
Yeah. Anybody seen Jesus lately?
Where's this guy that the angel said was the Messiah? We've lost him. Now, that is a very deep spiritual truth there. Do you think this is a passage about bad parenting? No. This is about the fact that Christ is in our midst and we don't see him. Where is he? He's in the temple. He's where he needs to be. But let's not get there. Let's move on.
Let's talk about Judas.
Let's move on when Jesus started his miracles, because this is a very important point. When Jesus did his miracles, and he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000. What happened when he would feed the crowds?
He would recline them first.
He would, yes. That's another show.
Oh, I love that part, though. How they all relax and they don't do
yes,
nothing.
But they would follow him.
Okay.
And he started thinning out the herd. And what would he do? He would start saying hard things.
Oh, sure.
He would start saying things like, well, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they'd be like, wait,
I don't
a
want
minute.
No part of that noise.
That was offensive to the Hebrew mind, to eat flesh and drink blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't allowed to do that. But this is the way the carnal mind works. The carnal mind is enticed and it's seduced by bright lights, by miracles, by all these things. And Jesus would do these miracles. And then what would he do? Right after he did a miracle, look in the Gospels and see what he did, in the circumcision Gospels and see what he would do. He would retreat. So there's a rhythm here. He would do a miracle and then he would retreat. He would do a miracle. He would heal somebody. He would say, don't tell anybody, because he knew what the carnal mind wanted to do. He knew that the carnal mind wanted to put him up in lights.
Well, yeah. Well, right after he fed the 5,000, they wanted to make him king.
They
and then he got the
king.
Heck out of there. Right?
And he knew, and this is where Judas comes in. God set Judas up. Judas represents the epitome, the fullness, the manifestation of the carnal mind, because Judas wanted to get the show on the road. He wanted Jesus to speak in front. If we can just get Jesus got power, man. He can do miracles. He can feed people. If we can just get him, his name in lights, my God, think of it. The money we're going to make, because Judas was the
he was the treasurer.
He was the Jesus never got the show on the road.
Which may bring us to Joel Osteen in a backhanded way.
Jesus never preached in front of the Sanhedrin.
I hear you relating Judas to Joel Osteen. See how I make that connection? You see? That's what I do for a living, my friend. We have Judas would have loved Joel Osteen.
Judas would have been the chairman, the vice chairman of the board.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he would have had Osteen on all the channels. He would have had him on HD set. He would have had him on satellite. He would have had him in conferences. Oh, wait a minute. He is in conferences. He is on satellite.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, but why did Jesus only walk around in a small area? Why did nobody recognize him? Why, when he did a miracle, he said, don't tell anybody? Because he knew the carnal mind wanted to make him king. And he said, listen, you don't understand. My king my domain is not of this system. It's not of this system. And so God conceals him. And Judas, God knows Judas's mind. God knows that mind. And God says, all right, I'm gonna use this one because he's going to try to put him in at the front of, he's going to try to make him king. And this is what happened to Judas. Judas, what people don't understand about Judas, Judas was chosen to betray Jesus. Jesus actually chose his betrayer.
Sure. Yep.
And Judas actually repents. The Bible says that Judas took the pieces of silver back and said, I've done wrong. An innocent man, this my book. And what did religion say to him? Did they forgive him?
Oh, nobody's forgiven Judas.
No, no. The blood is on your hands, buddy. We're not taking it back. And Judas realized after the fact, if you go into the scriptures and dig that out, holy cow, I was deceived.
Well, Satan entered into him. It's the only time in scripture where the adversary himself enters into a person to get him to do this deed.
This is where we need to be careful. The carnal mind, which is alienated, always wants to promote itself. It always wants to say the miracles are what's going to cause people to come to Christ. No. People came to Christ. God is working in people's hearts individually. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23? There's a process and an order to this. God is in control of who he reveals himself to. Don't forget this. The free will doctrines of the world won't tell you this. They'll tell you, oh, no, no, you choose your destiny. It's your decision that saves you. It is not your decision. It's not you who choose. It's him who chooses you. God puts the tugs on people's hearts. Evangelism and all the, no, no. They don't believe that. They believe you just go to an altar, you pray, and we're going to stamp you. You're like a slab of meat to them. You are approved. And you're now good to go. And God may not even move upon these people's hearts. And this is what evangelism is doing. God's in control. God has concealed the Christ. It's not done through miracles. It's not done through bright light. It's done through little radio shows, maybe. It's done through people who are meeting together in twos and threes. This is not a big movement.
No, not only that, but religion gets a notch on their belt that they made another convert. And I've always said I wanted to see a follow-up of all the souls so-called Billy Graham saved. It was how much of it was based on emotionalism, how much of it was based on the lights you're talking about and the music and the fact that this great man of God was moving the people by his great oratory. I'm sorry, but I think of Adolf Hitler along that line. And Paul says he was very ill-spoken. People mocked Paul because he didn't have the presentation, he didn't have the polish, he didn't have the fine speech.
What did Paul say about himself, about the Corinthians? They said, he's weak.
Yeah, he is strong in letter, weak in presence.
I'm convinced that if we saw Christ, Jesus,
we I know what you're going to say.
That is the Son of God.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
That he was concealed.
Well, that's why in the other show I said that it took an act of God to reveal to Peter that he was the Messiah, because if you looked at this man outwardly, that's why Jesus said flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And I think Jesus was talking about his own flesh and blood, because if you looked at his flesh, you would see, as I've said over and over again, an ugly Jew. I think Jesus was less good looking than probably any other contemporary Jew. He was either extremely short or he had a large nose. There was something repulsive about him. That's not me. That's Isaiah 53, that there was nothing about him that would draw us to him in the flesh. It takes an act of God for us to see through the outward into what is actually happening. And again, if you're disposed to the Spirit, you'll see it. But if you're disposed to look for things in accord with the outward, that's all you will see.
Martin, I feel like we're getting down to the end here, and I want to just share an idea with you. And I want to term it the God way. Because the God way is very different than the man way. God's ways are very different than man's way. Our ways are not his ways. And I need to make an application. I want to tie all this in and make an application for the show, for the individual that's listening to today. And there are times when we feel buried under the load of circumstances. We feel hidden. We feel concealed. We feel out of sight. We feel ignored, neglected, unnoticed. We feel dumped on. You ever felt like that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I have lived the last 5 years on Grand Manan Island, which is 9 miles off the coast. It's literally, it's a 90-minute ferry from the coast of New Brunswick. And I'm like, God, what am I doing here? I was running a big company in Pennsylvania. My wife died of a heart attack. And I ended up in a camper in someone's backyard. And I'm like, God, what is going on here? And I just felt like dumped on. And I went through 5 years of really troubling times. And you know what God told me? Mm. Everything's normal, Dennis. Everything's okay. Everything's proceeding my way because this is Christ-like. Our life, plain and simple, is hidden where?
Together with Christ in God.
In Christ in God. It's like God is playing hide and seek. Those who are His are hidden. They're not necessarily doing miracles. This, Martin, this takes faith.
Yes, that's the hallmark of our walk right now. That's the keynote is faith.
No, we're not doing any miracles, man. We're not making money. We're not. I mean, I had to detail four cars in the other day in the hot driveway to be able to have enough money to come down.
Faith is the expectation of things which are not being observed. And basically, our call can be summed up this way, not being observed.
God, are you kidding? A camper in someone's backyard? I had two houses. No, it's okay, Dennis. This is the normal way. Yeah. Jesus was the normal
way. God has really stripped you down over the years, hasn't he?
Yeah, but to build me back up. God makes, breaks, and remakes.
Well, you're a great example of the Apostle Paul, all those things which he counted as gain, his nationality, his pedigree, the fact that he was a high priest among the high priests, he counted it all loss for the excellencies of Christ. Look where it led him, Dennis. The excellencies of Christ led him to a Roman prison cell where he wrote the most transcendently spiritual writings we've ever received.
Wow.
Yeah. That's heavy duty stuff. Wow. Folks, we're gonna pursue this now. Tomorrow, the last day of this week, I've been privileged to have this man of God in the studio with me, Dennis Brown, a man who has suffered like all of us will suffer. We will all suffer loss in this life. Anyone willing to live devoutly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And folks, it's not necessarily people throwing sticks at stone and stones at you. There are many ways to be persecuted. Many of us have been shunned by the religious organizations. We've been shunned by our friends. We've been put on a cross. And they mocked our Savior when he was on a cross. You're not going to be treated any better. But the hour, the converse of this, the other side of this coin, I got to end the show this way, is that the tide is going to turn. And that which is hidden, that which is now in the shadows and despised, is going to be manifested in glory. Our Savior is already there. And if you want to know what your future is, look to Him. That's your future. It ain't now, but it's going to be soon.